Audrey Brady, Larry Brady, Bev Brady, Mike Brady, Cindy Brady, Josh Brady, Ori Brady, Susan Brady, Tim Brady, Tammy Brady, Todd Brady, Trisha Brady, Tom Brady, Fred Brady, Troy Brand, Danielle Brand, Dave Clemson, Pam Clemson, Betty Curtis, Julene Felice, Mary Alice Filman, Bob Flack, Marge Flack, Mary Gearhart, Kelly George, Allison George, Larry George, Betty George, Bruce Harvey, Suzanne Harvey, Tim Harvey, Lowell Herman, Pat Herman, Mark Herman, Ginger Herman, Dave Engel, Joyce Engel, Ryan Engel, Randy Engel, Teresa Engel, Vern Engel, Nora Lee Engel, Brian McClurg, Laura McClurg, Emily McClurg, Marilyn McClurg, Mark McClurg, Susie McClurg, Lindsay McClurg, Shan Pinniger, Connie Price, Jennifer Price, Desi Sorensen, Pam Sorensen, Dick Stanley, May Stanley, Dorothy Stenslin, Sharon Stevens, Steve Thompson, Pat Thompson, Amy Thompson, Matt Thompson, Melba Tingle, Nels Turnquist, Marge Turnquist, Florence Van Monen, Catherine Van Monen, Roseanne Van Vliet, Mike Warner, Shirley Warner, Shannon Warner, Carol Warren, Betty Warren, Marty Williamson, Lisa Williamson, Paul Zinnel, Michelle Zinnel, and Aaron Zinnel. What I've read to you is what we call our membership list. Those are the members that meet here at Pleasant Hill Church of Christ. We consider members to be people that have been baptized and therefore become members of the church. We therefore consider members to be the ones that are going to be saved and be in heaven someday. So does this roll call that I called this morning, will this roll call be called again? If we could look in the book of life that's in heaven and we could turn to the index and we could look under section P, look up Pleasant Hill and turn to those pages, would we see the list that I just read? Would we see that list there? Would that list match what we just read in your hearing? This morning I'd like to talk a little bit about what does it mean to be a member? What does it mean to be a member? If you turn with me to Acts, the second chapter, we look at the 41st verse, Acts 2 and 41. It says, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." This is how we came up with our list. You can all get a list. It's back there with all those names on it. That's how we came up with our list. People that were baptized and that are coming to church regularly, we put them on that list and we call that. Those are the members of the Church of Christ. And we get that from verse 41. Let's read 47, verse 47. "Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." The Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. The same list that's going to be written in the book of life. I don't know. And I don't think we do either. We're kind of clueless down here on this planet. We're humans. And therefore we can't see into the hearts of others. We don't know too much about what's going on in the hearts of others. We know that they've been baptized, and because of that, they become a member, and we put them on a list. But are they going to be saved? We don't know. It says in verse 47 that the Lord adds to the church. Just because we put you on a list doesn't mean that you got it made. It says the Lord adds to the church. The Lord has the power to add to the list. The Lord has the power to erase from that list, and he does that. So this morning we need to consider, what does it mean to be a member? Are we doing what we need to be doing to ensure that our place on that list stays on there? that you can still hear your name read someday in the future. This talk isn't intended to be negative in any way. In fact, it comes from a lot of positive observations that I made. There's a lot of members, I believe, in our congregation that meets here at Pleasant Hill that I believe are really striving to do everything they can to further edify the church and other members that are around them. We have a lot of people that are speaking for the first time on Sunday morning. We have people that are speaking for the first time ever. We have a lot of young people that we're watching get up here and deliver prayers, praying to God on the behalf of everyone here. That's a big responsibility. Getting up here and reading the scripture, reading the word and reminding us of what's in that. And I think that is very good. And that's something that we hope that we can strive to encourage them to continue to do that and to try new things and to become even better and do a better job edifying the church. Woe to the person in this church that hinders someone else in this church in any way of coming up here and doing something and trying to edify the church. In fact, we should be pushing. We should inquire, should try to push and try to help them learn new things that they can come up here and apply this. This is in our society today, we've gone to this new way of belief that we shouldn't push our kids. Our kids will come along as they want to. They'll do things on their own. They'll eventually get up there when they want to do it. And that goes against every principle of my entire job. What kind of a teacher would I be if I didn't push my students to do the best they can? If they came in, I gave them a book and said, here you go. You can learn what as fast as you want to learn. You can do whatever you want there, and good luck. How many of them would do that? They wouldn't do that. And we need to do everything we can to encourage and to push and to be there as support for them when they mess up. Because they do. We all do. We need to get them back up there and doing it again and helping them out. If it does seem, if my talk does seem negative at all this morning, then I would question you and I would ask that you examine the work that you are doing for the church. Because that's what we're going to talk about this morning. What does it mean to be a member? My second year at Winterset, I joined the Optimist Club. I thought it would be a good thing to join. It's the Optimist Club at Winterset does a lot of good things. They basically do a lot of community service work basically for students, for kids, and trying to keep them from not doing the wrong things and trying to do the right things. They have basketball camps and things like that, and that's what I do. That's my job. That's my life. I love doing it. I love being involved with students, and that's my own personal ministry, the way I can affect students and hopefully have them do the right things. So I decided to join up with the Optimist Club, and I went to a couple meetings, and the meetings, unfortunately, were on Friday mornings at 6 o'clock, and it's still dark out at 6 o'clock. That's really early in the morning. And unfortunately, at 6 o'clock in the morning, I'm just not real optimistic, I guess, about getting out of bed and trying to get there. So I made it to a couple meetings, and I enjoyed it. I liked it. I liked what was being said. I liked what was being done. But on a couple mornings, I was a little more pessimistic, I guess, and I didn't get out of bed, and I didn't quite get to the meeting. And I'd miss a couple weeks in a row, and then I'd go back and try to get there, and then I'd miss 5 weeks in a row, and then I'd try to go back, and eventually I'd never made it back. And then I stopped paying my dues, and pretty soon I got a letter in the mail. And it was telling me that I was no longer in the Optimist Club. And it was kind of I got a little laugh at a letter because it basically kind of said that you're no longer an optimist. So I guess I'm a pessimist now. So I was going to start my own pessimist group and try to start, let me have a meeting place and a meeting time and just never go. Is the church any different? Should the church treat its members any different than the way the Optimist Club treated me? When I wrote this question down, I had a different answer. As I started thinking about it and was working on my talk over the past week, I came up with a different answer. I think the church is different, really. And I think that's good to an extent because the church is, you know, we don't want to tell someone, hey, you're not a good member and we're going to withdraw from you. We don't want to do that. we have compassion for each other. We love one another, and we know what that means if they're not a member of the Church of Christ. So a lot of times we don't want to send them that letter. And so I think to an extent maybe we are different, whether or not we should be or not. That's a totally different issue. Is God different? No. I don't think God is any different from the Optimist Club or any of the other clubs we can join. There's many clubs out there that we can join that are good to be in. There's nothing wrong with being in them. But the way they handle their members isn't really any different than the way God would handle us. I feel that a lot of times that God has sent that letter, has removed you from the church long time before the church has actually removed you from this list. And so I don't think this list always matches up with the list that God has. We can't see into the hearts of man the way God can. If you will, turn with me to the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Most of my talk is going to be taken from there. 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. We're going to start in verse 12 and try to go all the way to 31. And I'll read the 12 through 14 first. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit, for the body is not one member, but many. Here we have a kind of a setup to this chapter, comparing the church to being the body, and Christ being the head of that body. How do we become a member of this body? We are, in verse 13, once again, this is the second time we've seen this today, we are baptized. And that's how we make up our list. We're baptized, we're put on this list, we are a member now of the body. And the good thing about this is that it brings everyone together. Jew, Gentile, red, yellow, black, or white, all can partake and all are equal in God's sight. And we can all become part of the body. What does it mean to be part of the body? A member of the body. Let's read verse 15 through 20. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? And now are they many members, yet but one body. We have this interesting conversation between parts of the body that we have in these couple of verses here. The foot says to the hand, you're the hand. I'm just the foot. You're out there, you're exposed out, everyone can see you. You contact with other people, you shake hands, you gesture to other people, you communicate. You grab onto things, you hold things, you're important. You're the hand. I'm just the foot. Verse 15 through 20, I write in my Bible a lot, and I have verse 15 through 20, I have it labeled the better than me section. You're better than me. You're better than me. You are the hand. I'm just the foot. The hand is appealing. It's more beautiful. Feet are just ugly. There's not a whole lot of good-looking feet out there. I was going to make an object lesson this morning, but I decided to spare you that whole deal. The whole time I'm up here this morning, you're going to see my hands, and you're going to see my face. Whether they're appealing or not, they're better than my feet. You can trust me on that. I'm going to gesture with my hands. I'm going to gesture with my face. That's what you see. They're the comely parts of your body, as it says a little bit later. They're the ones we expose, we show, we communicate with them. And there's nothing too unappealing about them, hopefully. But our feet are a little different. We keep them covered up. They're not seen very often. It doesn't seem that they're that important. And so the feet have kind of a bad feeling about themselves, that they're not the hand. They might not be as important. And so you know what? Since I'm not the most important, and since I can't do the thing nearly as well as you can, I'm going to let you do it. I'm going to let you do everything. And I'm going to sit back here and not do anything. The ear says to the eye, I'm not you, I. I'm not the eye, I'm an ear. I'm an ear, not an eye. I can't do what you can do. I can't see everything. I can't communicate with the eyes. I can't see all the beautiful things that you can see. All I can do is kind of hear what's going on and try to interpret what I'm supposed to be seeing. I'm just the ear. I'm not the eye. Two young lovers don't stand and gaze into each other's ears. They gaze into each other's eyes. The eyes are a beautiful part. The ears aren't a real beautiful thing. And since I'm not the eye and I'm just the ear, I'm going to let you do everything. I'm going to let you see everything, and I'm going to let you interpret everything, and I'm not going to do anything. I'm just going to sit back and let you take over. You're better than me, so I'm not going to participate. I'm not going to do anything. Verse 21 through 24, we have a new conversation. This is the I'm better than you section. I'm better than you, if you feel like writing in there. I'm better than you section. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. We have another conversation. We have the eye saying to the hand, I'm the eye. I see everything that's going on out here, and you're just the hand. I see what you need to grab onto. If I couldn't see that, you couldn't grab onto it. I'm more important to you, and so you should let me do everything. Same kind of outcome, different kind of viewpoint. Here the eye or something is saying to something else, I'm better than you, and therefore I should be able to do everything, and you should sit there and not do anything and not partake whatsoever. The feet may be an ugly part of the body, but would you rather have a foot cut off or your hand cut off? I was kind of thinking, playing a little mind game, I guess, earlier this morning. You know, I think I'd rather have my left hand, not my right hand, because I need to have my right hand. I'd rather have my left hand cut off than any of my feet. I don't know, maybe that's different for the rest of you, but I want to be able to run to a different place and walk to a different place. You know, as long as I have one hand, I can still grab onto something. Okay, I can still play basketball if I had my right hand. I couldn't if I didn't have a foot. That's pretty important to me. Even though my feet are maybe uglier than my hands, the feet are important. Every part of your body is an important part of the body because it contributes to what your body can do. Your body can do great things if it uses everything. Verse 24 says, for our comely parts, our beautiful parts, have no need. You don't need to cover them up. They have nothing. They're there. They're beautiful. They're exposed. We have to cover up our feet. We need to protect them from the ground. You get them all cut up. Why? Because they're supporting the entire body. They're the foundation. They support the body. They are important. Every member is important in the body. What would it be like if we decided we're going to have a vote today and we're going to choose the best speaker that we can to speak on Sunday morning? Every Sunday morning, because he's the best. And we're going to have them speak every Sunday morning. Then we're going to make a vote and see who our best song leader is. And they're the only ones that are ever going to lead songs ever again. Who can give the best prayer? And we're going to have them give the prayer every single time. I'd be awful bored. Because no matter how good a speaker is going to be, you're going to hear the same perspective every single time. You're going to hear only about 50 songs out of the books because we all have our favorite songs, and those are the ones I'm going to lead when I have my chance. Your prayers are going to start sounding an awful lot alike. Maybe someone can't lead songs as well as someone else. But it's a unique experience every time someone else gets up here and does something a little different. And so maybe we aren't the eye, maybe we are an ear. But our experience coming up here and trying to edify the church is edifying because it's different, a little different than somebody else. Every part is important. Verse 25 and 26. That there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another, and whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. We're to avoid these problems of I'm better than you and you're better than me. We suffer together. We are all members. We're part of the family that's been born again. Part of the family whose love knows no end. For Jesus has saved us and made us his own. Now we're part of the family that's on its way home. And sometimes we laugh together. Sometimes we cry. Sometimes we share together heartaches and sighs. Sometimes we dream together of how it will be when we get to heaven, God's family. We do everything together. When I was younger, I had problems. I had hangnails in my toes, both toes. I had both toes operated on, not the same time, it was different times. But I had these ingrown hangnails, what I call them. Incredible pain. You wouldn't think, just a little thing, when they finally cut it out, you could hardly even see. It was a little bitty thing. But when I went to bed, I couldn't even stand to have a sheet touching the top of my toe. A mere sheet on my toe was excruciating pain. I couldn't stand it. My whole body, I couldn't function. I couldn't walk. I just barely tapped my toe on something and I would just crumble in pain. Terrible. When one of us suffers, the whole body suffers. This chapter kind of sets us up to make an excuse for ourselves, though. When we read through it, it says, well, you know, some people are better than others. Some people do things better than others. That's what it's saying. So maybe I should just kind of let them do it. Maybe I shouldn't get up there and embarrass myself by trying to speak and trying to tell them something I want to tell them about. Verse 31 says, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. This is a complicated verse. Going with what the problem with the Corinthians was, they had some of them had certain gifts, some of them had other gifts, and some of them were saying, my gift's a lot better than yours, it's more razzle-dazzle gift, I can heal sick, and you can't, you can just speak in tongues or whatever, my gift's a little bit better. But then, and Paul says, you know, you shouldn't be this way. Everybody's important. And then in verse 31 he says, covet earnestly the best gifts. That's a little confusing. I think a lot of times we interpret that wrong. And if you're a Bible writer like I am, I've written in here, covet earnestly the gifts that will do the best for your congregation. That's what we're trying to do here. Covet earnestly the gifts that will do the best. Maybe healing was a better gift than speaking in tongues. But what good did healing do to you if you had people that had different languages that you need to speak to? What good did speaking in tongues do you if you had a congregation that had a lot of sick people or a lot of lame people that could have been healed? Choose the gift that can best help. Basically, do what you can. Do the best you can to edify the church as a member. You yourself. If you're a foot, be the best foot you can be. Do as much as you can to carry the congregation. There are several examples of people in the Bible who were chosen by God that felt that they were completely inadequate. Gideon was one in Judges 6, 15 and 16. I'm going to go flying through these. He said, I'm the poorest family in Manasseh, in the tribe of Manasseh, and I'm the youngest person in my whole family. Why me? What can I do for you? And God said, I'm going to use you and I'm going to smite the Midianites just as it was one man, just as it's you by yourself. That's what you're going to do. And you're going to be able to do it because I'm with you. It doesn't matter if you feel you're inadequate. I'm with you. And if you're trying, then that's important. Moses, perfect example. Exodus chapter 3. Just read a couple of things that Moses, a couple complaints that Moses had. I'll go through them real fast here. Exodus 3:11. And the Lord, And Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go into Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? Moses said, or God said in answer, certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. Moses isn't done. Exodus 4:1. And Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hasn't appeared unto you. And God gave him the rod and gave him signs to do, so that they would believe him. Exodus 4:10. And Moses said to the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. Lord, I'm dumb. I can't do anything. You don't want me. You picked the wrong guy. You've really messed up here. God says, who made your mouth? Who made your mouth speak that way? Who made the blind? Who made these people? I did, and you're belittling that? Verse 14 says, the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. How would you feel if the anger of the Lord was kindled against you? I can't imagine what that'd be like. And here the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. Why was it kindled against Moses? Because Moses was capable of doing things, and he wasn't doing them. He was trying to find complaints, trying to find things, excuses, and why he didn't have to do what God wanted him to do. And that angered God, and it will anger us also. The Lord's anger will be kindled against us if we don't do what we're required to be doing as a member. I'd like to end with Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 15 and 16. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15 and 16. But speaking in the truth in love, may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted or constructed by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Every joint supplieth. Every member adds something. Every member presents something and adds something to the church. That's the definition of a member. The church needs you. I need you as a member to come up here and try to do something and edify us. Pull your load. Share the part. How many times have the elders have been asked by someone, you know, I think I'm ready to try to speak on Sunday morning. I think I'm ready. Will you put me on? What a great thing for the elders to have to listen to. I think that'd be great. Someone comes up and says, you know, I know I was just baptized last week, but I'm ready. I think I want to go up and I want to give the scripture reading. Wouldn't that be a great thing to hear that? Do they hear that? Or do they hear, you know, I'm a little uncomfortable, so could you take me off speaking Sunday night? I'm a little uncomfortable doing this, so can you not have me? I don't want to do this, so can you take me off doing that? I think that'd be just, in the words of my son, a real bummer to hear that coming from members. And I think we have good examples in this congregation of people that have been the opposite way and said, you know, I want to try this. Can you teach me how to do this? Can you help me out here so I can do this and help out and further edify the congregation? Effectual working in the measure of every part. Working to the most of your abilities. We are given different abilities. How well do you work up to those? Or do you make excuses and say my abilities aren't nearly as well as someone else's, and so therefore I'm not going to use them as well as I can? Why do we do this? Because it maketh increase of the body, and it edifies the body. It builds up the body. The body grows. It increases because of your work, because of your desire to come up and become a member, partaking, doing what you can to help out. There are parts in your body that seem to do nothing. Your tonsils, they can flame up and they can cause damage and you have to have them removed. Your appendix can swell up, it can burst, it could cause the whole body to die in some cases. And it has to be removed. It doesn't really do anything there. I always talk to my kids. They say, what's the purpose of the appendix? And I say, that's where when you swallow popcorn seeds and gum, that's where it goes. That's what I always tell them. It doesn't do really anything. It just sits in there, and if it causes a problem, then it has to be removed. Your wisdom teeth. My wisdom teeth came in. They started crowding all my other teeth. They were pushing them aside. They weren't doing anything productive for me whatsoever. I had to have them removed. They were taken out. Good parts in your body sometimes have to be removed. They get infection in them. It goes. It spreads. You have gangrene in your body. It needs to be removed. It has to be amputated and cut out. What kind of member are you this morning? Are you truly a contributing member of Christ Church? Your name may be written on this list that I read this morning. Is it written on God's list? Will you hear the roll call once again and your name be on it? We offer one more and possibly the last opportunity for you to come forward. Make yourself right and take the necessary steps to have your name written in the book of life. We ask that you come forward as we stand and